Welcome to Green and Red, Scrappy Politics for Scrappy People, a regular podcast on radical, environmental and anti-capitalist politics, brought to you by Bob Bazanko and Scott Parkin.
Welcome to the Silky Smooth Sounds of the Green and Red podcast. I'm your co-host, Scott Parkin in Berkeley, California, and Bob is out today, but we are rejoined by our friend, investigative correspondent for The Observer or the Texas Observer, Candace Byrne. Candace is a freelance journalist based in Austin, Texas, whose work has appeared in The Nation, The American Prospect, In These Times, Salon, Truth Out, and Earth Island Journal. And she is the author of the forthcoming book, Blood, Soil, and Oil, Far-Right Acceleration in the Age of Climate Crisis. Candace, welcome back to the Green and Red podcast.
Hey, Scott, thanks for having me back.
Yeah. And so we're going to talk a little bit about what's going on at the border. A couple of weeks ago, we actually did an episode on the tree sit on the border in Arizona. And so we've been looking for stuff to talk about. We've been looking for some topics to talk about with Big Bend. There's a multi-phase border initiative costing over $7 billion going on at Big Bend. Local residents, environmental activists, bipartisan leaders have formed a unified front promoted by groups like No Big Bend Wall. And there's lots of other stuff. There's litigation. There's people doing protests. So maybe you could just actually tell us a little bit about your understanding of what's happening down at Big Bend.
Yeah. So folks have been up in arms about, quote unquote, the wall coming for Big Bend for a while. And so there's a few things to drill down there on the distinction. So when we say Big Bend in West Texas, I think most people, especially those who don't live in Texas, are thinking of Big Bend National Park, which is obvious because it's one of the most beautiful national parks I think we have in the country. And of course, that's where people's minds are going to automatically go to. But Big Bend is actually much wider than just the park. It's really that whole stretch of West Texas from El Paso to Del Rio. You could consider all of that. People have different sort of pegs where they would define Big Bend as. And so what's happening is that there is a border wall coming for vast swaths of this ecoregion of the Chihuahua Desert. That is the same ecoregion that people love when they think about Big Bend National Park, right? That ecoregion doesn't end within the actual boundaries of where the park itself ends. And so what CBP is saying after this, like you said, this united front coalition of landowners, activists, and even Republican county sheriffs are all against this thing, right? And so now CBP is basically coming in and saying, we are not building a wall. So what they mean by that is the 30-foot tall steel bollards that you think of when you think of border wall in the boundaries of the national park. But we should understand that wall, that 30-foot wall, is still being constructed in other parts of the Big Bend that are equally beautiful, equally historically and archaeologically significant, equally ecologically sensitive, and equally damaging to the communities that immediately live there. And so this has caught a lot of attention recently because people may have seen images of the bulldozers actually there in Santa Elena Canyon, which is like one of the most beautiful places in the state. Maybe the
iconic Big Bend.
Yeah. It's like maybe the most beautiful place in the state of Texas. So yeah, it's Southwest Valley, like bulldozers were in Santa Elena, were setting up near the Cottonwood camp of the park. And those images generated such an outcry that there's actually was a pause put on construction in the actual park. Abbott's taking credit for that. He says that he had a talk with Mark Wayne Mullen, but I honestly think that he's just taking credit for something that has really been brewing for a long time. There's a lot of Republican opposition on the ground there. And that pause on construction has since been extended with a new lawsuit that I reported on in this article that just had this court hearing in it. And they decided in this court hearing on Friday that they were going to extend that pause. Originally, they said that pause was supposed to be through the end of August. So now that pause has been extended to September 15th. And if you want, I can talk about the details of that lawsuit, but that's basically what's going on.
Yeah, that was my next question. That's the focus of your article that you just put out recently. And it's indigenous folks have basically filed this lawsuit. I think the Religious Freedom Restoration Act and the American Indian Religious Freedom Act are what they're suing over, right?
Yeah, yeah. So basically, before I get into this lawsuit, folks should know there's a few other lawsuits. There's three other lawsuits. There's two of them from Center for Biological Diversity. And then there was one in West Texas over the levee system there that failed. And so the Center for Biological Diversity ones are still working their way in the courts. And then this one that I reported on, I was happy to just be in contact with some of the litigants and was able to break this story as it was happening. And so basically it's a very novel legal strategy because of the fact that DHS has waived these 28 federal laws in order to expedite construction of the wall. So normally folks would be suing under NEPA, the National Environmental Policy Act, or what we've seen in other fights elsewhere with indigenous folks is they would normally pull on the 1990 NAGPRA. And if I can get the acronym right, I believe it's the Native American Graves and Protection Act, I think. And so, yeah, normally those are the kinds of laws, the Antiquities Act, would be classic stuff for lawsuits all under those laws typically. But the administration has just wholesale waived all of that and saying basically none of that counts. We get to just build the wall and we don't have to follow any of these laws. And it is two plaintiffs, Christina Hernandez and another litigant named Austin, who are of Lipan Apache lineage. So to be clear, the tribe itself, the Lipan Apache Band of Texas, are not party officially to this lawsuit. Basically a nonprofit that Christina is affiliated with and these two individual plaintiffs who are suing under this religious freedom strategy. It's novel in the sense that it is getting around the waivers. And so what they're saying is hey, you're cutting us off from these specific sites that we use and rely on to practice our religion. And so they specifically utilize water from the Rio Grande in their religious ceremonies. They specifically harvest willow and cattail. A lot of that willow, they will build sweat lodges specifically with the willow from the banks. And all of that is important in how those kinds of religious ceremonies are held. There's grave sites that they could be potentially cut off of. So when they're doing gravesite visitation, all of that is specifically freedom of religious activity. And so
are any of those grave sites or sacred sites endangered by the destruction that the bulldozers are doing?
Yeah, basically the nonprofit, Christina's nonprofit, it's People of La Junta for Preservation. They own a tract of land that's right there in Redford. And the tract of land they own definitely is archaeologically significant and has remains, artifacts and remains on it. So they're specifically trying to protect that site in particular under this. So La Junta de los Rios is very significant, both in terms of burial sites, sacred sites, and just historically, archaeologically significant sites. So it's when we think about the Chihuahua Desert, right? There's a place in West Texas where the Rio Grande comes together at a junction with the Conchos River. And it's like a little fertile valley that's there. And it's one of the oldest continuously cultivated sites in Texas and also in North America. And so there is really well documented burial grounds there and artifacts from 800 years ago of indigenous folk, but also just when the Spanish arrived in the 16th century, there's the remains of adobe buildings. There's the remains of old presidios, missions, Spanish missions that are there. The site in particular that they are seeking to protect is a registered Texas, or it's registered on the historic place registry. Anyway, and so, yeah, it's got that registration. And then the Texas Historical Commission also has documentation on that specific site as well. And so all of that they're seeking to protect. A lot of that stuff has been waived under when the Antiquities Act gets waived. That allows them to just raise through this stuff. And so, yeah, they're basically arguing that the construction is going to cut them off from these sites, but also just these ecologies that are so instrumental in how they recognize the divine. So, yeah.
And how has the Department of Homeland Security or Border Patrol or whoever responded to this particular strategy, I guess you could say.
Yeah. So they had the first emergency hearing that was actually on Friday. And what I understand is that the attorneys in the case for the Trump administration have just agreed to extend the pause for 15, mm-hmm. just saying we're going to allow these arguments to play out, give this case more time to argue this out. But they basically, and I think that it's not just this case, right? They're under enormous political pressure. But the case is significant. It has Dick DeGaren is on it representing the plaintiffs. And he's the same attorney that prosecuted Ken Paxton in the indictment trial here. There's big hitters. And the other lawyer is the state senator, Roland Gutierrez. Mm-hmm. He's also an attorney, so he's representing them as well. And so, yeah, right now, that's where we're at. The Trump administration attorneys are just basically agreeing to extend this pause. And so we're going to watch and see what happens as the case plays out.
And has there, I know that this has been a thing where folks who are claiming lineage of certain tribes have been attacked because they're not necessarily certified members of the tribe, or they're not federally recognized tribes or anything like that. Has any of that been playing out? I would think that would be a way in which the Republicans would try and attack the litigants.
Yeah. So Lipan Apache tribe. And again, to be clear, the tribe itself is not a party to this lawsuit, but the Lipan Apache tribe of Texas isn't federally recognized, but they do have state recognition. In order to prove state recognition, the process really isn't as intensive as what you need to go through when you prove federal recognition. And so there are a few state recognized tribes, but the Lipan Apache band is one of them. So far, mm-hmm. I haven't heard any accusations against them in terms of not being legitimate. In fact, I think it's more likely that you'll find Republicans are willing to hear them out because there is bipartisan opposition this wall in particular. And so I haven't heard anything like that yet. But yeah, my understanding is that the tribe itself is working on getting federal recognition. But like I said, that's an extremely long and time intensive and very difficult process. So my understanding is that they've been at work trying to prove that for a long time.
And one thing, you talked about how Abbott is trying to take credit for the pause. Has there been any comments from the Paxton campaign on this? It seems like that's one of the big political news stories in Texas right now, is that Senate race.
Yeah. So Paxton is one of these on the right that has said very little about it. And the statements that you'll find, I think, from both the Republicans like Paxton, but also Democrats, too, all seem to imply the same kind of thing. And it's a talking point I've heard a lot on this issue, where the implication is, why don't we not build the wall and instead we'll put technology in? And so he alluded to something like that. Let's mm-hmm. use technology that's appropriate for the Big Bend sector, or let's take into account that particular features of Big Bend. He's put out statements along that. And you've heard this from Tallarico, from other, that's when I think about the bipartisan consensus, a lot of it isn't landing here. This idea that, like, let's basically put up Anduril autonomous surveillance towers in the Big Bend sector instead of building a wall, or instead of doing vehicle barriers, or instead of doing patrol roads, basically, like, this idea that we can save both Big Bend and the border at the same time. And I honestly think it's a gross argument. I would like to hear more people on the left actually arguing that we should reform the immigration system and move toward a more humane immigration system. You're hearing a lot of people on both the right and the left talk about how, and it's true, the fact is true that there are very few crossings through the Big Bend sector. And that's because it's an extremely harsh environment that kills people. Like, the reason people don't cross through there, people do cross through there and die. And basically what they're saying is, like, we should just keep the status quo. Let's just continue to subject people to this kind of, like, horrific deathscape in order to, and that's our natural sort of border barrier. And I think that's kind of a monstrous argument. And I would like to hear more people, at least on the left, actually make an argument that we should have a humane immigration system.
Aren't the Iranians using their natural barrier to keep out the U.S. as well? So
yes,
if it works for Iran, it can work for Ken Paxton, Greg Abbott.
I'm not expecting Ken Paxton or Greg Abbott to change their tune on that. I would just not like to hear it from our side.
Yeah, That's fair.
Yeah.
I totally agree with that. I actually, the other thing I was thinking is that the Democrats don't really have a border policy. They just like mimic. They're just like sock puppets of what the Republicans' border policies have been. Like Kamala Harris did that.
Yeah. Yeah.
My other question is, just because I've seen this come up in other places, is around, and you talked about this some in your article, is there's a number of private contractors which are getting big contracts to do some of this work. And I was just wondering if you could talk about that for a minute. Just who's doing this work?
Yeah, it's a sand and gravel company, or I believe it's Fisher Sand and Gravel is who it is. And then it's Southwest Valley for the actual bulldozing in the park. And so folks over there in West Texas have been doing some really great organizing against some of these contractors. There's a few groups on the ground there. One is Defenders of the Rio Grande, who are like going around and basically just documenting all of the movements everywhere they can. And some of the unique organizing I've been watching unfold is one of these contractors was trying to approach a local water conservation district for basically a permit for a water well for a man camp. It was a man camp in Lobo. And these organizers, like the folks associated with Big Bend Border Wall and Defenders of the Rio Grande and other folks that are organizing on the ground there, basically organized to flood this conservation district meeting, which I'm sure they never have anybody ever attend their meetings. But like for the first time in forever, there's 100 people like storming into their Zoom room, like I'm like begging them to reject this random water permit. And so they're doing really cool things like that, like pushing back on the ground. Right now, there's, I think, a lot of fear and trepidation around like doing direct action against contractors on the ground because of just the climate of fear. Like we're in Texas, so we have the Prairie Land case is still echoing out like a chill from that case, I think. And I think the border barrier is probably labeled critical infrastructure, things like that. I think folks are kind of scared to directly get in the way. I'm not discounting that as a possibility going forward, but I think that right now the emphasis is really on just documenting a ton of going on the ground and just finding these little opportunities like this water conservation district meeting to push back in whatever way they can.
It's definitely having an effect if we're seeing like Republican politicians like respond with the Trump party line.
Yeah.
On it.
Yeah, definitely. So what these county sheriffs are saying, and again, they're using that same line about Big Bend is the border, like the landscape is the border, which I think is, again, I will say that's gross, but that's what their line is. Like, basically, this is a beloved, cherished area. They don't understand why. For them, this doesn't make sense. This is just about like putting money in the pockets of these contractors, right? Yeah. Why put up this wall there when like there's these steep canyons that people can't cross anyways? Or why put up vehicle barriers where no vehicle can cross anyways? Like people who live there know that like the like roads and trails barely exist in parts for anybody. Nobody's driving through there anyways. So for them, it's like this common sense thing. And so, yeah, there's a bunch of the people who actually live there, who actually understand the terrain, none of this makes any sense.
And this guy, Tim Barnard, who I was telling you about before, who's a Trump donor, he owns a company called Barnard Construction. They've got $4.6 billion in federal border wall contracts since Trump returned office. Both he and his wife had donated generously to Trump 2024.
Yeah. Yeah, it's gross. It's just about putting money in MAGA loyalists' pockets, and it's not about any kind of actual... CBP itself said a couple of different things when it was first starting construction in the park. First, so they put out a statement to a reporter saying they were grading roads. And then later, they put out a different statement saying, oh, we're just taking soil samples for to survey for our engineering plans. I don't think there's any plan. There's no plan, engineering plan, where they're looking and mapping this out and they're saying this is what we're... All of that's ridiculous. I think they're just flailing and they're putting out whatever they can at any given time to make themselves look less bad. But there's no concerted plan here. It's no. Very clear that they're just... These contractors are just coming in and doing what they do.
Yeah. It's pretty ridiculous. I mean...
Yeah.
We live in a ridiculous time, though. I can't say that anymore. My only other question is, what do you think is going to happen next? Do you think some of this litigation might work, or do you think that they're going to just continue to pause it until after the election? Or
yeah, I can see an ongoing pause. The easiest thing politically is just for them to hit the pause button for a second and regroup, at least in the boundaries of the park. Like I said, for the rest of Big Bend, bulldozers are going to be at work. This wall is going in. There's 100 affected landowners along the route, and those landowners are planning their own lawsuit in September. But like I said, it's really hard with these lawsuits because of these DHS waivers. So it's like, we really need a friendly, Roland Gutierrez and Dick DeGuerin, they filed in the Western District in San Antonio versus like El Paso, where a lot of these other lawsuits have been filed because they strategized that the court might be friendlier to them in San Antonio, where it's on a wheel. And I think that there are a few Democrat appointed judges there. And so it's like they have to get lucky and hope that this argument that steers around the waivers and gets a sympathetic judge, and maybe they can pull it out. We'll see what happens. But definitely, it is really hard to say. I think if this fails, we're going to look at this landowner lawsuit that's coming up in September and see how that moves forward. But I think with just such incredible bipartisan opposition, I could definitely see the extension going on for a while.
It makes me think that the last thing we talked to you about was AI data centers in Texas, and about how we're also seeing sort of a partisan breakdown on that as well. It's like we're seeing lots of Republicans in rural areas who are against data centers. And this seems somewhat similar.
Yeah, I think, and it's really hard to say, I know that we've heard before that Democrats have a shot or Texas is lean Dem. Yeah. But I think we have this unique combination right now where really, the Republicans have alienated a large amount of their rural base through data centers and through West Texas is rural. These folks are rural out there. Mm-hmm. And so these issues, this wall coming in, and not just that, South Texas, too, there's border walls going into other national wildlife refuges in South Texas that are getting far less attention that are also really upsetting folks. But yeah, I don't see it in terms of like, these rural Republicans are suddenly going to come out and pull the lever for Tallahassee. I don't think that's necessarily the formula, but I do think it's an equation of they are not motivated to show up. Why are they going to show up? And I think on the other side, on the left side, you have a constituency that is willing to crawl over broken glass to get to the polls and vote. And so, yeah, I just think that is the sort of magic combination that might spell a lean D or a tip. So we'll keep watching. But yeah, I think Big Bend border wall, I think it's interesting to see these environmental issues actually like alienating rural Republican voters in Texas in a way that you see. Yeah.
It's pretty incredible, actually.
Yeah.
Remarkable.
Remarkable, indeed.
Yeah. All right, Candace, I'm going to let you go. Folks, we've been talking with Candace Burns about her most recent article, which is about the indigenous group Sioux's Big Bend border wall. It's in the Texas Observer. Check it out. We'll put it in the show notes. Everyone else out there, please check us out on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Blue Sky. If you're watching this on YouTube, hit the subscribe button. If you really like us, go to greenandredpodcast.org and hit that support button, or become a patron at patreon.com/greenredpodcast. Candace, talk to you again soon. Hopefully we can talk more on this story as it develops this fall. And everyone else out there, make trouble and misbehave.